Hi. Hey, guess what? We're having a big Christmas party over at the trading post, and everybody's going to be there, and I'm making some decorations for the Christmas tree there. Everybody's going to be there for the Christmas tree there. Please, won't you? For the Christmas tree there. Please, won't you? Everybody's going to be there. Please, won't you? Everybody's going to be there.
Christmas again, but not in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, because that would be too convenient.
And not on this podcast, because it's the first one.
I suppose again was presumptuous. Mr. Dress-Up, this week we watched the 1995 Christmas episode for Mr. Dress-Up. How was that for everybody? Was it better than Dudley the Dragon?
It was better than Dudley the Dragon.
Below Mr. Rogers, I assume, though?
Maybe.
So it seems like you enjoyed it.
I just don't want to say that Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood is better than Mr. Dress-Up.
Because patriotism.
Patriotism, and also, like, that was my favorite growing up.
I feel like we need a third opinion. Esther.
Hi!
How'd you get in here?
Please won't you join our podcast.
All right. Well, I was taken back many years as soon as the introduction started.
Did you watch a lot of Mr. Dress-Up?
Because I think it was... I watched Mr. Dress-Up exclusively.
Okay. It was... I feel like it was kind of... All of the seasons had done their run and it was completed by the time you were really watching it, but...
I'm not sure.
I guess. I would have been two when this one aired, but... I remember watching almost exclusively. I had a few shows, but Mr. Dress-Up was probably one of my favorites.
And earlier today, you were doing origami on the kitchen table, or on the coffee table, so...
Which is why stuck. I thought it would be important to have you on this episode, just to evaluate the crafts. Because although I consider myself an artist, I do not consider myself a crafty craftsman.
A craftsperson.
I do like crafting.
So, right off the bat, what's your evaluation of the various crafts we see in this episode?
Well, they have, some of them seem to be themed by the appearance of their target.
Right.
Like Truffles. Because he's just...
Mr. Dress-Up. I almost said Mr. Rogers.
Truffles.
Nope, somebody else.
He's making one decoration for every person.
Not every
in the neighborhood.
He said... Almost. Oh. Just about everyone.
He's making a decoration for every member of the community that will be attending the party early for setup.
Except...
yeah.
Oh no, Alex does get one.
Alex does get one. Which, don't tell Alex, but Mr. Dress-Up, I clocked it. Put in 3 minutes of effort, precisely.
I mean, how long do you think it took him to glue 3 pom-poms together?
That's true, probably
and
not
that
very long.
Candy cane came from a store.
Yeah, he didn't make that candy cane at all. No. He said that he made a candy cane, but it was obviously pre-manufactured.
Yeah,
he
there was a...
put a pipe cleaner on it.
There was a hangy bit at the top.
Yeah, there's like a little a circle to
which
put
is not... Here's how you make a candy cane themed decoration. Step one, buy candy cane. Step two, you're done.
It does already have a hook on the
top.
Yeah. Yeah. I wondered, though, as he was making his craft, if he really had a plan before he started. Because he goes through 3 or 4 different cards that he likes, but they're just not quite right.
It did seem kind of improvised.
Like he was just kind of going through a stack of cards.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like, well, I'm realizing now that we've kind of gotten a bit into this without really describing Mr. Dress-Up for the
Canadian.
Yeah. I don't think we have a lot of listeners, but... Ideally, someday we will have some.
Right.
And they won't be people we know ourselves personally. And so statistically, some of them might not be from Canada. So,
right.
What is Mr. Dress-Up?
Mr. Dress-Up is Canadian Mr. Rogers.
Basically.
In more ways than one.
what's the second way?
Well, because Mr. Dressup was originally, Mr. Dressup, I guess, was never from America, but Ernie Coombs, who plays Mr. Dressup, is from America.
Yes.
And he came up to Canada with Mr. Rogers to do a show for the CBC, which later became the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood that we know and love.
Uh-huh.
But when Mr. Rogers went back to Pittsburgh, Ernie Coombs stayed in Canada.
It was a real church planting. Like,
yeah,
Paul goes somewhere and leaves Timothy.
Yeah. And I feel like most of it is right there in the title, Mr. Dressup. He likes dressing up.
And he likes crafts.
He likes crafts, and he likes drawing.
Yeah.
And he's pretty good at all three of them.
He has an easel on the right side of the set, a tickle trunk, which is the trunk that he keeps all of his
costumes
in, on the left side of the set. And then right in the middle of the set is where he does crafts, and he has like a, looks like an 8-foot by 12-foot bulletin board behind him.
Yeah. Yeah. Bulletin board.
The corkboard guy must have been excited for that sale.
And also further to the side, he's got like a couch and a kitchen.
For reading books and preparing
compared
food.
To Mr. Rogers' house, Mr. Dressup's house is palatial.
Palatial meaning?
Enormous.
Enormous.
Like a palace.
Enormous and less like an old person lives there because he's got an entire wall of just plush toys.
Yeah. It's a very modern house, relatively. He's also got a big garden, which we don't get to see in this episode.
Yeah.
But he's got a big old garden. And that was a contiguous... Mm-hmm. Like, you could see the garden from his front door window. Or back door, maybe? I'm not sure which is the front door and which is the back door.
Whenever you leave the house to go someplace, like the trading post, you go through the door on the right.
Right.
Through the yard.
But that's like a big glass double door, and it goes through a yard.
Yeah, maybe.
Whereas the other one is up by the kitchen.
I suspect that when they were making it, they were more thinking about making a set than making a facsimile of someone's home.
I mean, that may well be, because it is very... Like, there's clearly a lot of space that is not used in the middle.
Uh-huh. Although we do know that there's a bathroom, because in one of the earlier episodes, one of the puppets gets locked in the bathroom.
Yeah, that's Casey.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
From pre this era, the 80s.
Back when the puppets on this show were a lot more like Mr. Rogers, where they had plastic faces.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Casey did. And the other one was just a sock.
Tiny human,
basically.
Yes, we already established that this show was before my time, but Casey was definitely before my time.
Casey and Finnegan were before my time. This, the puppets on the show at this point in 1995 are
pretty squarely in your wheelhouse, I think.
Yeah, Chester the Crow.
Yeah,
Alex the
guy,
kid,
human.
Yeah,
Truffles the Muppet, I guess.
And, yeah, I was trying to figure out what she is.
We've also got, like, Granny the human, and I think that's about it.
Who's Granny?
Granny's looks similar to Alex, except that she's an old lady, and she works at the community center.
Oh, yeah.
I do not remember,
you don't remember
her
Granny?
At all, no.
Oh,
is she just big. Alex in a wig?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think she looks different. I think she's got like lines on the side of her mouth. Okay. I don't exactly remember.
Oh, maybe I do remember Granny.
And then in the very late, maybe after my time,
they added a raccoon
whose name was anybody?
I don't remember his name, but I remember him.
I don't know.
I didn't remember any of these characters' names. Like, it's been
I don't know if any of the characters could be described as being after my time. Because I wrote to Mr. Dressup when the show was ending.
Everybody did.
Yeah, but that's just to say that when the show was done, I was still...
I remember sharing like a real somber glance with somebody in junior high school when he passed away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was a real... It connected us as a generation.
Yeah. But I do remember the introduction of the raccoon, and I was like, who's this guy wrecking my show?
I think you could maybe describe him as after my time. Casey and Finnegan, I caught sort of the tail end of.
Okay. So that's what Mr. Dressup is.
Yes. He's the more hippy-dippy version of Mr. Rogers. He likes art and crafts and dressing up. He's like, more laid back.
His crafts are kind of... improvisational.
I think like, he's had just more like, elaborate crafts.
Oh, what am I going to... I'll just slap some of these on here. Maybe like yeah. some marker. It's sort of a Bob Ross approach. Like, he's not like, okay, kids, here's what we're going to do. He's just like, it's not quite done yet. Maybe, what does it need, you guys? Any ideas?
It felt a lot like kindergarten to me, though. Mm-hmm.
It kind of feels very authentic, because that's how you're crafting. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're making something from old Christmas cards, as he is here. So there's a big old Christmas party at the Trading Post, which is one of the other alternate locations.
There's Mr. Dressup's house, there's the Trading Post, and there's the community center.
Yeah.
As a child, because this show was so ingrained in me, the notion that there was a Trading Post didn't seem weird, but when have you ever encountered a Trading Post outside of a like historical reenactment museum?
Well, I think the thing you need to realize is, when was the last time you encountered a sapient crow?
Yeah, in your life? I guess so.
Because I believe he is the owner proprietor of the Trading Post.
Maybe. Once upon a time, the owner proprietor was an alligator named Al.
Mm. You've done your research.
I know Mr. Justin pretty well.
I guess.
And
I think the raccoon probably took on some Trading Post related duties because.
Maybe.
They are both, you know.
What are the duties of the Trading Post?
Keeping everything on shelves.
And I think the duty for things. The duty of the Trading Post is Mr. Dressup is a hoarder, and we need to get some of that out of his house and into an isolated location.
Yeah.
I don't know. His pegboard's pretty tidy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Because we have this off-site.
Yeah,
a massive. True.
I always liked the clutter of the Trading Post.
It's like a messy, crafty version of the community center.
It's the Trading Post is basically a well-tidied junkyard.
Yeah,
like the walls all around it are just like these gray plywood boards that are at every.
It's a fence. They're clearly out in open air. I feel
there is like some sheltered shacks, like you would have in like a junkyard.
Yeah, no, it's
like. Yeah, I don't know.
It is very much like a scrapyard.
Mm-hmm. The main kind of, I would say the big plot of this episode is Chester the Crow and Alex both want to dress up as some Christmas figure. But somehow they just keep dressing up
as the same costume.
Same thing.
Identical costumes, too. Like the elves were slightly different.
And, like, the presents were different colors, but they were the same shape.
They were clearly both made by Mr. Dressup.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, the Trading Post seems pretty organized. Are they not finding these sorted right beside each other?
Yeah.
Or do they just have two different stashes of identical Christmas costumes?
Yeah, it's... the first thing we see of Chester in this episode, he's decorating, quote-unquote, the Trading Post... by just sort of dragging a pile of tinsel into the middle of a table.
He drags it with his mouth, too.
Which felt very authentic crow decoration to me.
I'm gonna...
Here's a shiny thing. Let's put that in a pile.
Here's a shiny thing, a shiny pile of tinsel that I'm carrying in my mouth.
Yeah,
even though I've got two wings that could maybe... seem to function as...
Did that
they do function
too.
Because he accidentally sweeps the tinsel off the table shortly after putting it there.
I missed that one.
While he's talking.
But he uses his beak to carry a little stocking later in the episode as well.
Yeah, the other human in this episode is
Lisa.
Lisa, actress's name is Lisa Jai, who played Wanda on Magic School Bus.
Oh.
Fun fact.
Has she showed up in something else?
Probably. She's a voice actor mostly.
Mm-hmm. Carlos from Magic School Bus was on Dudley the Dragon.
Yeah.
So this is our new rubric for choosing break shows, is we got to find an actor from Magic School Bus.
If that's the case, then I'm fresh out of ideas.
Oh, yeah?
We could watch something that has Lily Tomlin.
Tune in next week for 9 to 5 with Lily Todd. Is she in that? I think she is.
But Lisa Jai is just kind of watching this unfold between Alex and Chester.
Yeah.
With the costume thing and...
the first thing they both dress up as is Santa Claus.
Yeah, and they're like, well, we can't both be Santa Claus. And then she comes in and says, neither of you can be Santa Claus because Mr. Dress-Up is also being Santa Claus.
Yeah. Which they immediately accept.
And they're like, yes.
Oh, okay. We can't be Santa.
Mr. Dress-Up is law.
Yeah. Everyone defers to Mr. Dress-Up's dressing up authority.
And, like, at no point...
I mean, he's the one with the tickle trunk.
It's true.
Which we don't get into, but the tickle trunk is magical.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because sometimes... No, because sometimes the costume he's looking for isn't in there, and he has to tickle it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But I feel like the adult characters or adult figures, by which I mean humans...
Right.
...in a world of puppets, they don't... accept the possibility that, hey, no, we can have two Santas. They're like, no, this is a very important tradition
yeah.
that we only have one Santa Claus.
I mean, both of them clearly want to have different costumes.
Right.
But even...
But it does take a while before that.
I think it's when they're dressed as elves. Lisa says... Yeah, this time it's okay that you're both the same thing. Yeah.
Before,
she specifically says this time yeah. it's okay.
Yeah. And then the in between when they finally decide on elves, which is okay, and after Santa, they both dress up as Christmas presents.
Yeah.
Which basically just means like a little
pillbox hat.
A little pillbox wrapped in wrapping paper.
With a bow.
And Chester decides, you can be the Christmas present. I'll think of something else. And then Alex is like, he's gone? Okay, I'm also going to think of something else. And then...
missed that.
Yeah, no, yeah. They were totally agreed upon. Mm-hmm. And then after Chester leaves to find another costume...
Alex just decides Alex is like, being a present's no longer cool.
I think I'm going to get something else.
Also... Like, you can have multiple presents just as you can have multiple elves.
Mm-hmm. No, they say that, too.
Yeah.
But it kind of feels like they both want this to transpire. Like, they want...
Yeah.
They want to see how long they can keep this going.
Yeah, which...
they want to explore the extent of their psychic.
Which I felt was echoed in a scene between Mr. Dress-Up and Lisa... when Mr. Dress-Up gives her the gingerbread man decoration that he made, they're deciding where to put it on the tree.
Right.
And Lisa, who up until now has kind of been like a mature adult about all of this, just starts taking Mr. Dress-Up for a ride on, can you put it down there? That's the perfect spot for it. And then he like goes through all this trouble to put it somewhere. And then she's like, actually, it's going to look better up at the top. And then she makes him move it. And then she's like, put it over here. No, that's too crowded. Please, again, Mr. Dress-Up, move it. And then eventually it winds up back at the place where it started. And I'm like, just move it yourself. Why are you why are you toying with Mr. Dress-Up?
I noticed, too, that Mr. Dress-Up makes these ornaments for these people. And then doesn't even give Alex and Chester their ornaments. He doesn't even mention it to them. He just hangs them on the Christmas tree them.
And after saying Truffle should wait for him to get there to hang it up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, she's not really equipped to even stand near the tree, let alone
Truffles, hang it. Is like a pink thing. And so her decoration is a pink thing.
Yeah.
She's a pink thing in a sweater vest.
Yeah. She's a pom-pom, so her ornament is three pom-poms.
Yes.
Which, to be fair, her interests do seem to mostly be things which resemble her.
Mm-hmm.
She likes things that are pink and that are fuzzy.
I mean, that's true of all humans.
And she is pink and fuzzy.
We like things that resemble us.
I don't know how much that's true.
I mean...
I don't want to buy a car that looks like me.
Why is anthropomorphism a thing?
So we can... make relatable characters out of things that
are not. Because we like things that resemble us.
Mm.
Mr. Dress-Up dresses up as he does.
Yeah.
This time as Santa Claus. What do we think about this depiction of Santa Claus?
Thoughts? I'm surprised that he just uses a pillow to make him fat.
Oh, you think he would have like a special...
I don't know. It just...
I don't know. It feels like Mr. Dress-Up, though. Like... keep in mind how he made this ornament craft.
Yeah,
like he's just
I guess that's the thing. Is he goes for accessibility with his costumey. I mean, he's not Mr. Cosplay. Trump. He doesn't have a machinist shop in the basement where he's doing like vacuum form molds and building stormtrooper helmets or whatever.
The idea is that you can make these things at home, or you can,
especially if you have a pre-made Santa Claus costume.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's not like his costumes are not elaborate.
Maybe he's just lost weight since he last wore this yeah, maybe. Santa Claus costume.
I'm just surprised at the pillow. And the pillow, I mean, it ends up looking like a pillow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was wearing suspenders. I would have thought that he would have tucked the top of the pillow in the suspenders, but it just kind of like points outwards and gives him like a box.
Or even just a different size pillow. I don't know. I think you could have arranged it better, but it works all right. It's a solid Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. It looks like Santa Claus.
Yep.
You wouldn't even know it was Mr. Dressup except for his trademark glasses.
Truffles didn't know it was Mr. Dressup. She freaked out that there was Santa Claus invading Mr. Dressup's home.
You'd think when you go to visit your good friend who's named Mr. Dressup,
you'd learn to expect these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Truffles,
especially when you're attending a Christmas party where everyone's dressing up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And everyone seems to know. I imagine a lot of parties on Mr. Dressup involve dressing up.
Yeah.
Like, most Christmas parties are not also costume parties, but Mr. Dressups are.
Yes. If no one else is dressing up. He's like, this is my thing.
Yeah.
This is what my entire family generations back have done.
Yeah.
The dress-up name goes back to medieval times.
Exactly. You know what this party needs is a man who's an octopus. You know what this party needs is a man
who's a space worm.
Covered in balls.
In what context would you be a man covered in balls?
Like, maybe actually there might be bubbles.
Probably bubbles.
Never, ever, 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 ever any trouble here in Bubbleland.
I did notice that I had less to remark upon about this episode of Mr. Dressup than the one other show that you guys had me join you on.
To be fair,
with Bubbleland.
I mean, we hit one of the highlights with that one.
The Bubbleland opera was pretty dense with
pretty content. Full-blown acid trip. This was a pretty right down the middle episode of Mr. Dressup.
Oh, I said I was going to talk about why we weren't watching The Friendly Giant.
Oh, yes, you were. Tell us about, you preview watched an episode of The Friendly Giant.
We were going to do Friendly Giant, but then I figured it's almost Christmas, so let's do a Christmas episode from a show. Mm-hmm. The Friendly Giant would not work for this podcast because it basically is this podcast. The Wikipedia article for The Friendly Giant, the first paragraph of the synopsis is just describing the like intro sequence with the theme song and stuff.
That's a great intro sequence, though.
That's all anyone remembers, and here's why. One sentence devoted to the rest of the show on the Wikipedia article generally consists of improvised, gentle, and humorous chat, is what they say. They have two types of episodes, Friendly Giant. They have We're Just Gonna Play Music.
Right.
Which
on their recorders.
Yeah, he has a recorder, and then there's
the traditional instrument of giants.
There's a chicken that lives in a bag, which the chicken is also giant, I suppose. And a giant magenta and purple giraffe whose head pokes in the window.
Small relative to the Friendly Giant, but not that small.
I don't know if the I don't know if Rusty, the chicken in the bag, has an instrument.
Yeah, he plays a harp, I think.
Yeah, he might play a harp. I don't think that Jerome the giraffe has an instrument.
I think he does. I think he might play piccolo.
But they do have two cats who are not characters, but who provide additional instrumentation for songs that need it.
Yeah.
And it's always just like medieval sounding, like chamber music.
Madrigals and the like.
And so the other type of episode, they just read a published book in like the vein of Reading Rainbow, and then they just sort of
riff on it,
non-offensively, like Mystery Science Theater with it, like not even making jokes necessarily, but they'll just be reading the book and they'll be like, that's a good idea. The giraffe pops out of a window right next to the chicken and are played by the same actor who's just got his arms around this pillar, presumably.
Yeah, The Friendly Giant is an interesting show.
The whole thing, start to finish, is like improvised entirely.
Yeah.
Like they have maybe a one sentence summary that they need to hit, like, okay, we need to talk about summer this episode, and we need to at some point bring out the book that we're going to read.
Yeah. It's kind of like an episode of Bob Ross if he wasn't doing a painting during it.
And if he was chatting with his other old friend.
I mean, Bob Ross is always chatting with his old friend. Sometimes he's nursing a squirrel back to health.
And there are... The characters are always just like, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. It's a really weird tone, but not anything that we could really...
Not really.
Mr. Dressup has a very similar sort of casual, like, just improvised chat.
Yeah, and but more stuff happens.
Banter, yeah.
And there's conflict, such as it is.
And a lot of songs. A
lot of songs.
It was just a lot of Christmas... standards.
Yeah, yeah, nothing... I can't remember if that's normal or if it was just Christmas special. We need to sing a bunch of Christmas songs.
He definitely sings songs.
I know that because he had like the Space Worm song that scared me.
Yeah, I don't remember the Space Worm song. I remember the Banana Bird song.
Do you remember the Space Worm costume?
No, I don't think so.
Mr. Dressup had a Space Worm, which I believe he wore in multiple episodes, but I could just be...
I mean, he wore all the standard. I know Octopus Man, he wore a lot.
But his full body was one space worm. So think orange with horizontal stripes and then like a very fuzzy, wispy, colorful wig.
Right.
And then his one arm was a second space worm or the second head maybe of the space worm.
Unclear.
And he would like move it like this creepy snake. And it was just very unsettling.
Hmm.
And it also had, like, the wispy wig hair.
Right.
What
was his third arm? Or second arm?
I don't think there was a third space worm head. I think that it was just his hand for...
Doing things.
Doing things and adjusting the puppet.
Opening doors.
Yeah. It seems like all of these characters are just, like, trying to make bits happen. And, like, then pretending to be innocent of it all. Like, it's like, oh, go find a stocking, Chester. And he's like, okay, I'll try to find a good one. And then he comes back and he's got like a thimble-sized stocking. And then it's like, this one's too small. Try again, Chester. Yeah. And then he comes back with like a sleeping bag-sized stocking. And then it's like, Chester, you idiot. You know what you're doing. Just
you said you had a stocking. You've clearly been... saving up your...
And then Lisa does the same thing with the placement of the gingerbread man.
Imagine you're friends with somebody who is 10 to 20 times your size. Uh-huh. And they say, this is too small, find a bigger one. I feel like your whole frame of reference is off at that point.
Like, well, this would work for me.
I could maybe wear this on my tiny crow foot if I didn't have three big toes. Crows can't wear socks, I don't think. Not without carefully designing them, at the very least. Yeah, the first
stocking. Because where's the heel gonna go? Because they've got that one.
Exactly. It'd be like a mitten or a glove.
Yeah, it would have to be.
So more complicated than socks. Anyways, the first tiny stocking she says is maybe a good size for a mouse, and then she ponders. Lisa does. Do mice have Christmas stockings?
We know that crows and
other
such creatures
We know that. I like the assumption that mice have Christmas, obviously. Do they have Christmas stockings? Or are their traditions different than ours?
I mean, they didn't invent clothes, so yeah, I don't imagine really have they socks. Would adopt... But if they've adopted Christmas as a tradition, maybe they've adopted other traditions from humans.
Maybe we'll find more if we ever check in on today's special. It has a mouse in it.
We'll do.
Or Polka Dot Door, I think, had a mouse in it. Lived in the clock.
Oh, Polka Dot Door. Polka Dot Door and Polka Dot Shorts are my childhood horrors. Nemesis.
Were you also scared of Pokeroo?
I mean, Pokeroo was...
Pokeroo was the scariest thing.
Pokeroo was scary on Polka Dot Door, and then on Polka Dot Shorts, which came many years later, it was scary because it was such a bad show.
I feel like I'm the only one who ever ran upstairs to listen through the air exchange vent for when Pokeroo had gone.
Yeah, you were definitely the most scared of Pokeroo, and we just inherited that fear from you. Because you had convinced us. Although, like, the Pokeroo that I remember, and the one that I remember being scary, was, like, the male actor would leave the set, and then Pokeroo would come on and be like, Pokeroo, Pokeroo! Like a ghost. Like a haunting...
Like a ghost or a wolf.
Like a ghost Pokemon.
Saying, not at all like a polka-dotted kangaroo, which Pokeroo! I guess is what he was.
Yeah, wasn't he only around when nobody else was?
No, he was only around
when the person that played him was
the male host left. And it was a rotating cast. I don't know how often it rotated. Well, it was like
I don't know if we would have been as scared of Pokeroo had we been around for one of the previous Pokeroos that rather than saying Pokeroo said Pokeroo, Pokeroo. And it was just like a dude saying the word Pokeroo, Pokeroo.
No, but see, I am positive, at least I saw multiple generations. Mm. There were never fixed hosts in my memory for Polka Dot Door. There was always a lady and there was always a man, but I don't know that they were ever, like, I couldn't pick any of them out of the lineup.
Perhaps part of the fear was just from the instability of having all of these parental figures constantly changing.
No, like, I think it was the fact that
like foster child syndrome,
weird and never said anything intelligible, and he talked in a weird voice, he was mysterious because one person never ever saw him.
Mm-hmm. And so you were starting to think if that other person was crazy, sinister. Is Pokeroo real or is this person going insane and losing their grip on reality? Because the other person doesn't see it. Maybe the guy actually was just dressing up as Pokeroo and he was just gaslighting the other actor.
Well, that's just
to make her think sinister. That she's going insane.
Like I said, a creepy show.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a creepy show.
Do we have any more thoughts on Mr. Dress-Up?
Clearly not, but we have a lot of thoughts about all the rest of Canadian children's television. All the shows too short to get a whole episode out of.
I was a little disappointed we didn't go to the drawing board this episode.
We also didn't go to the
good segment.
We also didn't go to the community center.
Yeah, or the garden.
Where they had like a ancient computer. I mean, current at the time of the show.
Super current, because it could talk and had an intelligence.
What was the name of the
computer? Max.
Max the computer, right, yeah.
Yeah. The owl didn't wake up, but that he rarely woke up.
Oh yeah, the owl. Tawitawee, tawitawoo.
Yeah.
Whoop-de-doo.
I wonder if they were trying to cheat around the fact that it was not winter outside.
What do you mean? Oh, because they didn't go outside.
Yeah, because they didn't go outside. Like, they went to the community center, or the trading post.
That's the problem with living on
which a... Which I always assumed was outdoorsy, but...
Living on a TV show, you have snow one day of the year, and that's Christmas.
And it's a lot of work to put up and
but
take down.
But maybe that's the way to have snow.
Maybe.
I mean, a month. I think a month is good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Mr. Rogers might happily have a snowless Christmas, but Mr. Dress-Up was a Canadian show, and you can't get away with that.
It's true.
Nobody's going to buy it, even if you're in Toronto.
We're never going to have the opportunity to talk about Mr. Dress-Up again. So, does anyone have any...
What an ultimatum.
Anyone have any final thoughts on Mr. Dress-Up as a whole?
I think it's still a good show. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say from just one episode how much it offers... Mm-hmm. Watching it as an adult, I mean, nothing. I haven't gained anything of value watching Mr. Rogers as an adult.
Hey, now, but we learned last week that pandas have an extended wrist bone that lets them hold things like people hold things with their thumb.
I mean, that is true.
That's exciting.
But maybe it just doesn't have the subtle weirdness. Mm-hmm. I think Mr. Dress-Up is playing everything for its audience.
It doesn't provide the same opportunity to talk about metaphysics.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's more straightforward in concept as a children's show. But it also has that arts...
The arts bent, yeah.
...bent to it, which I think is sort of sets it apart from other... Or Mr. Dress-Up is if Mr. Rogers went to a liberal arts college. Because mm-hmm. it's all about crafts and drawing and acting. Sandcastles, probably.
Well, thanks for listening to this very special Mr. Dress-Up's Christmas episode.
Special.
Special. Next time, we're going to be back with Mr. Rogers episode 1506, which means we're skipping a week.
Just a week. So we get to guess what happened in that missing week.
Oh, Andrew, I am sorry to tell you that we are skipping an opera week.
Oh, no. Which opera?
It's Spoon Mountain.
Don't remember Spoon Mountain at all.
Spoon Mountain.
Oh, no. Featured, oh, maybe I do remember Spoon Mountain, actually.
Featured some kind of weird purple cat. And the King Friday, in the days leading up to the musical, constructed his own new mountain And once he finally climbed to the top, Lady Elaine greets him in a helicopter and mounts a giant statue of her own head at the top of the mountain.
Oh my goodness. And that's, is that even in the opera or did that just happen?
That's before the opera starts.
Oh my goodness. This sounds amazing.
But we don't get to watch it.
Is there pictures?
There's pictures.
Okay.
Those will go on the Tumblr.
I was going to say, I need a picture of a giant Lady Elaine head statue on top of a mountain.
Please won't you be my.tumblr.com.
Oh, it's going to be a barn burner of a Tumblr this week.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot.
Just a whole episode of The Friendly Giant.
Our very special Mr. Dress Up Christmas theme song was provided by, once again, Dan Brisbane.
He keeps doing it.
He keeps doing it. Isn't that wonderful? We'll probably take a week off for Christmas.
Sure. Sounds fantastic.
So there will probably be a week without a new one.
What will you do without us?
You might be confused by a large amount of episodes because I'm thinking of shifting the podcast from one host to another host website. Might
show up.
So all of them might appear, but you'll remember where you are because you just listened to the Mr. Dress-Up one. So that wraps it up for us.
That does.
Until next time, goodbye from Steven,
Esther,
and Andrew,
and
Mr. Dress-Up.
I guess I didn't remember.
That's the silly thing.
I forgot it until you started doing it there. Somebody's gonna be there. Hope I see you too.
That's all done.